31. Killian.
You can hold your breath a very long time, Lord Calorian, Rhea said in a low voice, her eyes roving over him in a way that made Killian deeply aware of his lack of clothing. I thought I might have to rescue you. She giggled as though the idea of doing so was ridiculous. Then she bit her bottom lip, her eyes glinting. Only the swirl of her brown hair in the water concealed her breasts, but he kept his gaze fixed on a tiny mole at the center of her forehead. Is there something you wanted, my lady? There's only one thing anyone wants when they come to this part of the pool, she said, easing closer to him. Shit. He'd forgotten about that, wanting only to be away from Finn and the attendants. This was the last thing he was interested in. All he wanted was to be alone with his thoughts, and he silently cursed his reputation. His face, his mark, his own stupidity for allowing her the opportunity to corner him like this. I only wanted to look at the gardens, Rhea smirked. I wasn't under the impression you were the sort of man who spent much time admiring topiaries. I'd heard you preferred more visceral pursuits. Don't believe everything you hear, he said, knowing that the words would do nothing to dissuade her. That she'd see them as him toying with her, as though this were all a game. He'd been put in this sort of position before. It was always the same. Rhea moved forward and he moved back, but his shoulders struck the edge of the pool. Before he could edge sideways, her arms slipped around his neck, her breasts pressing against him. She reached up to kiss him, but he turned his head, feeling her lips catch him on the jaw. She huffed out a breath. You're quite the tease, Lord Calorian. Is that how you got my cousin to agree to marry you? His pulse roared in his ears, carrying with it a wild fury that he barely managed to keep in check. He wanted her gone, and preferably never to see her face again. But there was no easy way out of the situation. Not without rebuffing her, which would have consequences, and not by laying hands on her to push her away, which he refused to do. Then he heard the slap-slap of bare feet against the tile. And Finn said, Sorry to interrupt, my lord, but the attendant had some questions regarding your attire for this evening. From the way that Rhea was looking anywhere but at Finn, her cheeks flushing a bright pink, Killian was fairly certain that the boy was still naked as a jaybird. Who is he? She demanded. And what is he doing in my pool? He's my squire, my lady, Killian answered, resting his elbows on the edge of the pool as she crossed her arms over her chest. He goes where I go. But he's Gamdeshian. Killian lifted one eyebrow, about to point out that so was Sonia. But then Finn said, Half Gamdeshian, my lady. My father was Mutamorian, and he died fighting against the Darren invaders. Rhea's jaw tightened. My condolences. May the gods keep and protect his soul. Thank you, my lady, Finn said, then without pause added, Lord Calorian, they are concerned they have nothing for someone of your considerable stature. And with the dinner hour nearly upon us, I'm afraid they are beginning to fret. Would you condescend to having your bath cut short so the tailor might measure you? If I must, he met Rhea's gaze. Sorry to cut our conversation short, my lady. But it would not do to come to your table without suitable attire. If you'd excuse me. Of course. Her voice was strangled, but to her credit, Rhea stood her ground in the pool instead of fleeing back over to the women's side. Nodding at her, Killian swam to the far end, accepting the towel that Finn handed to him. They don't need to measure you, Finn said. I made that up. I know. And likely so did Rhea. Thank you. Just doing my duty. No different than sharpening your sword. Casting a glance down, Killian said, We've talked about this. You touch my sword, I'll... Make me run 6 laps naked through the army camp, I know. Though, as you might be gathering, that's not much of a threat, my lord. Finn took a few shredding steps. I'd run 8 laps naked just for fun. Noted. I'll think up a better threat. Or, Finn replied slyly, you could let me have my own sword. Giving him a weapon would only be the first step. Then he'd be wanting to learn to use it. And then he'd be wanting to fight. And the thought of anything happening to Finn. I just bought you a horse. Don't get greedy. The attendants were waiting in the chambers with new clothes. Killian's boots polished as shiny as the worn leather would allow, and a stiff new pair awaiting Finn. But while Finn's garments were practical dark brown, Killian's were Calorian indigo with an abundance of white embroidery. And it was all he could do not to make a face. But there was no helping it. Dinner would be when the Rowanist clan discussed strategy, and he needed to be there. Waving away the attendant, he pulled on the clothes, which were fashionably and irritatingly tight, then his boots and weapons, before scowling at the mirror. Finn snickered. If we hang you from the battlements, you'd serve as a banner proclaiming the presence of glorious House Calorian. I'm taking back your horse. You can walk from now on. Finn only laughed harder before elbowing Killian out of the way to look in the mirror, smoothing back his wild head of curls, which only sprang upward again. Shall we? They stepped out into the cool corridor, and Killian walked toward the atrium where Sonia sat reading a book, an artfully arranged stack sitting on one of the tables next to her. Before they reached her, Finn said softly, I wish you'd quit treating me like a child. Killian's jaw tightened. You're only 14. How old were you when you got your first sword? High Lord Calorian had put a practice sword in Killian's hand almost before he could walk. He'd had a proper weapon before he could read. Had been dueling by the time he was 7. 1,000 excuses rose in Killian's head for why his circumstances were different. But they sounded hollow in his mind because none were the reason he didn't want to concede on this. Fine. Finn's eyes widened. But before he could say anything, Killian added, but not until Sonia deems you competent enough with a practice blade that I don't need to worry about you cutting off pieces of yourself. The brightness faded from his friend's eyes, and irritation flickered through Killian. Don't look at me like that. I'll speak to the Rowanist armorer and see if he has something that will suit. But you don't get to swing it until Sonia gives her blessing. Thank you. Finn's voice was clipped. The boy with the towels told me that I could eat with them. So unless there's something you need from me... No. Killian felt suddenly weary. The heat from the wine he'd downed having vanished from his veins. Go find them. As Finn trotted off down the corridor, he turned to Sonia, who was eyeing him thoughtfully. Instead of her usual attire of trousers and shirts, she wore a bright pink and gold dress cut in Gamdeshian style. Golden combs holding back her short curls, glittering jewels running up the sides of her earlobes. Several gold bracelets gleamed against her russet skin, and wide gold cuffs wrapped around the defined muscles of her arms. She was undeniably beautiful, but she was also one of his lieutenants, so he only said, they gave you everything you needed? She nodded. Your brother and sister-in-law were here recently. Lady Adra had this commissioned, but it wasn't finished before they departed. And your brother. She inclined a head to Killian's garments, and he cast his eyes skyward, the clothes making abrupt sense. His middle brother, Celdred, was notoriously flamboyant in his attire, and he was equally notorious for never wearing the same clothes twice. He left a trail of flashy coats and overly tight trousers everywhere he went, and this was probably the most muted of whatever he'd left behind in the Rowanist palace. Killian made a note to visit the bankers in Rotan to withdraw enough funds to pay for the new clothes, or he'd spend every visit here looking like he belonged in a circus troupe. Offering Sonia his arm, he led her through the palace, heading in the direction of the main dining room.
"It's not about the sword, you know,"
she said, smiling at the servants that curtsied and bowed as they passed.
"Just like it wasn't about having his own horse."
"Then what is it about?" She muttered something in Gamdeshian under her breath that he was fairly certain translated into,
"Why are men so dense?"
Then she said,
"They are attempts to spend time with you."
Killian snorted. "He's with me all day, every day. He's just mad that I won't give it to him now. Except that as soon as I do, he'll only want something else.
I'm going to choose to believe the healer didn't do a fulsome job fixing your cracked skull at Alder's Ford, because that's preferable to the alternative."
She snapped.
"Your body is with us, but your mind is not. When was the last time you had a conversation with him that wasn't limited to one-word answers and grunts on your part?"
"I've been thinking only of yourself,"
she interrupted, pausing in her diatribe to nod at a servant.
"Finn lost everything when the Rim invaded. His father is dead. That family he has wants nothing to do with him. And all he owns are the ratty clothes the servants are probably burning as we speak. You are all that he has. The only constant. The only person who cares whether he lives or dies, and yet you are behaving as though you barely see him."
"That's not true,"
he snapped back.
"I do care. That's why."
"You're pushing him away,"
she said, clearly unwilling to allow him to finish a sentence.
"Because you're afraid of him getting hurt, of losing him, as you have lost others. But fear is the corruptor's greatest power. And when you let it make your decisions for you, he wins."
There was no chance to retort, because they'd reached the entrance to the dining room, the door swinging open and a servant loudly announcing their titles. Sonia possessed of a few he hadn't known about. Rhea mercifully hadn't arrived yet, but the rest of the Rowanus clan was in full attendance. Sarek's numerous nieces and nephews and cousins, all bedecked in finery and endless gold. Killian mechanically performed all the curtsies expected of him, kissing the hands of ladies while flattery poured from their lips and allowing the men to pound him on the back while they offered congratulations for his rise to command, all of it holding a false, calculated air. Servants with trays of delicacies circulated, the expectation that one eat their fill on endless tiny mouthfuls, and Killian's stomach instantly began to ache beneath the onslaught. His constitution was more used to rations than this rich fare. "Lady Rhea Rowanus," the herald's voice split the air, and Killian turned to watch Rhea come into the room. Her hair was woven into a coronet around her head, the dark red gown she wore, high-necked and long-sleeved, all the skin he'd seen earlier now covered by brocade. She nodded at those who'd dropped into bows and curtsies, then squared her shoulders and approached him. What Killian wanted to do was flee the room and whatever conversation was to come, but he stood his ground.
"My lady,"
she inclined her head.
"My lord."
And though she wore cosmetics, color bloomed on her cheeks.
"I wish to apologize for my earlier conduct. It was inappropriate, and I clearly misjudged your character."
Gods. This conversation was to be worse than he feared. And this time, Finn wasn't here to rescue him.
"Put it from your mind."
Her amber eyes were fixed on his chin as she said,
"I fear I cannot, for the motivation that pushed me to act remains."
His skin prickled, his mark warning him of something.
"I take it your actions were not driven by..." "No."
Rhea's color burned even higher, but the eyes that flicked up to meet his were uncowed.
"Not that I'd be averse."
"You flatter me." A lie. Because mostly she made him uncomfortable in his own skin. Malahai's cousin huffed out an amused breath, seeing the truth he hadn't given.
"Will you walk with me? There's something I wish to discuss with you in private."
Part of him wanted to avoid any circumstance that involved being alone with her. But while his mark warned him of a great many things, incoming seductions wasn't one of them. This was bigger than that. So he offered her his arm. As you like. Rhea said nothing as she led him out of the dining room and through the palace. They exited through a side door, moving through the darkening streets of Rotan to the exterior wall, where they mounted the stairs to the ramparts. The soldiers on guard bowed low, but did not interfere as they walked down its length. Rhea finally dropped his arm to lean her elbows on the stone, her eyes on the sun setting in the west. The border Mudamora shares with Anukastre is longer than that with any other nation, she finally said. It's also the most poorly defended. It's not the threat that Darren or Gendorn are. She was silent for a moment, then murmured, my people, who suffer to defend Mudamora's wealth, would say otherwise. Turning, she looked up at him. The king is my uncle, and high lord of these lands, and he does not hold them as close to his heart as I do. And the decisions he's made in recent years might well be good for Mudamora, but they have not favored Rotan. Such is the nature of being king. I don't deny that, she sighed. But my duty is to protect these people. And without soldiers and resources, I can't do that. With every passing week, the Anu grow bolder in their raids, attacking the mining camps and stealing our gold. Any attempt to resist is met with steel, and those fighting are miners, not soldiers. She wiped a tear from her cheek. They are terrified. That's why I begged my uncle to send us help. Guilt twisted through Killian's stomach. Because he'd believed Sarek had sent him only to keep his coffers from being harmed. Not once had he considered that it wasn't just gold the Anuk were taking, but lives. The 500 men with me know their business, and the Anuk are no fools. Once they've word of our presence, they'll desist. And once they do, my uncle will only take his soldiers back to rejoin the main army. And it will all begin again. Which was precisely what Killian had been hoping for. To spend a few weeks fighting raiders until they decided that the cost was not worth the reward and retreated. I thought, she said softly, that if I gave you reason to want to be here, that you might convince the king to allow you to remain. Killian's skin was prickling like an army of fire ants marched across him, every instinct in him screaming danger. The Anuk had never been considered a significant threat in the past, their numbers too few, the terrain too difficult to bring large forces across. But that was before Mudamora had nearly lost the war with Darren. The Anuk knew they were weak. Your duty is to Mudamora, to your people. What his heart wanted didn't matter. Taking Rhea by the shoulders, he looked into her eyes. The Anuk have taken advantage of the corruptor's actions by choosing to attack Mudamora now. They act not only against us, but against the Six. And I think it is high time there was a reckoning.